Aren't letters good? Aren't they really nice?
Well, unless it's a bill, of course. But usually they're nice, but although it's good to pay our bills as well. But it's lovely to receive a letter, isn't it? It's really encouraging, you know, hear all the news, they write nice things, they hope you're well, thinking of you. It's nice getting letters, isn't it? And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be thinking about a man called Titus. And he got a letter from his good friend, Paul. Now, Paul and Titus, they were really good friends, and they had worked together. They had gone round telling people about Jesus and setting up churches. Titus had delivered other letters to other people, to other churches, for Paul, to like the Corinthians and to others. And Paul and Titus, they'd travelled to a Greek island together called Crete. And there they told people about Jesus and how great and wonderful Jesus is. And people became Christians, which is brilliant. And they started setting up churches, and then Paul left to go on to the next place to tell them about Jesus, and left Titus to carry on the good work of what's happening in Crete with people coming to know Jesus. And so Paul writes to him to say, keep going, and here are some things to help you and for you to think about as you continue the work of growing the church in Crete. And so he tells Titus three particular things that we're going to be thinking about over these next 3 weeks together at Emmanuel on Sunday mornings about how to grow the church, how to have godly leaders of our church, how to have a church, how we care for one another and help and build one another up, and also how we all live for God in the world. That's what we're going to be thinking about for the next three Sundays. Now, I've lost my talk, so I gave my Bible to Huey. Anyway, okay. Did it fall down? No. Okay, good. Now, here is the thing. Here is the big theme of the whole of the letter, and it is in chapter 1, verse 1. So will you look at verse 1 with me? So, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect, and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Truth that leads to godliness. Because here is the thing, knowledge changes our actions. Knowledge changes the way we behave. So when we've understood something, it changes then how we respond. So let me tell you about when I was young and I was painting, helping my mum paint our house. Well, mum was doing the painting and I was just chatting to her. And mum was painting this wall and it's all paint down the wall. And I was leaning on the wall, chatting to her. And when I stepped away, I realised never to do that again. Because not only had all the paint come off the wall, all the paint was all down the side of my clothes. I never did that again because knowledge, it changes the way we behave. It changes our actions. So I never did that again. Let me also tell you about a friend of ours where we used to live. He had a huge big garden. It was massive that went into woodland, and he had a little stream that ran through the garden, and he had made bridges to cross over the stream. Now, these bridges, he wasn't the best engineer in the world, and they sometimes looked a bit dodgy. And age 3 and a half, I went across one of the little bridges across the stream, and it all started collapsing on one side, and I fell into the stream. And I got totally wet and had to go home straight away. Now, every other time we went to our friend's house, I always double and triple check the bridge I was going to cross before crossing the stream in his garden. Because knowledge, it changes our actions. What we come to understand, it then changes, it impacts then the way we behave. Let me try one more here. Now, you're going to love these, engineers in the room. I tell you what, I've missed my calling in life. I'm a born engineer because I've got two chairs here. Look at those chairs. Aren't they great? Brilliant. Wonderful. Now, Johnny, I'd like you to come up, please. You can choose either chair. I would like you, please, to sit on one of those chairs. Either chair. Just choose it and you can sit on it.
It's a bit tall for me.
There we go. Okay, now, Noah, I would like you, thank you very much, Johnny, good man. Noah, so you've now got a choice. Are you going to sit in another cardboard chair? Actually, no, I'm not going to ask you, because I know what you're going to say. Let's have someone sensible. Let's go, Susanna, are you going to sit in a cardboard chair, like your dad, or do you want to sit in a nice solid chair? There we go. Makes sense, doesn't it? Thank you very much. You can go and sit down. Brilliant. Good, because knowledge, it changes our actions. When we understand something, then, it changes, it impacts the way, then, we behave, the way we respond. Instead, so feeble, it falls over. So that's how Paul begins his letter to Titus in verse 1. He says, look, at the end of verse 1, the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness. Knowledge that leads to godliness. Knowledge, it changes our actions. Now, what is the truth? What is the truth that Paul is speaking of? And he explains it in the rest of these verses, in verses 2 and 3. So let's just read through them, and whenever we see something is truth, let's just explain the truth, then let's just remember it in our mind. So, in the hope, of verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God does not lie, promised from the beginning of time. God gives eternal life, our future with him, and he doesn't lie about it, he's always true, faithful to it, promised from before the beginning of time. It's forever been planned. That if we trust in him, we'll be in heaven with him, have eternal life with him. And verse 3, and which now, at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Saviour. He's now brought it to light, made known by Jesus coming to earth as man and then dying on the cross in order to save us and rescue us. And the more we know, the more we see, the more we understand who Jesus is, then the more it will impact the way we behave, because knowledge changes actions. It means we'll become more godly. So imagine for the first time ever you've understood the game of rugby. Rugby World Cup coming up this autumn, and you get rugby, you think, rugby is just amazing, it's brilliant. And you know, you play the game a little bit at school, or you play it sort of after work in a club, and then you think about rugby, and then the more you look at rugby, then the more you want to talk about it with your friends, the more you want to watch the World Cup, the more you want to play, it impacts the way we behave. And it's the same with Jesus. The more we see of Jesus, the truth, the knowledge, then it will impact our godliness, us wanting to live for him. Now, Jesus, he has lots of titles, lots of names, like Saviour or King or Lord. I reckon we can name quite a few of them if we were to go around the room. So I like to be brave. You can say, don't have to contribute if you don't want to. But let's see how many names we can think for Jesus. Like Saviour, King, Ransom, Healer, Sin Taker, all those kind of things. Have a quick think to yourself. And then we're going to see how many we can think of, names we can think of to describe who Jesus is. So I'm going to give you just 20 seconds and then we're going to ask. Don't worry, I won't put anyone on the spot if you're thinking, oh no, not me. Think of names of Jesus. Okay. We're going to go Lucia first, and then we're going to go Josiah. Go for it, sweetie.
Jesus is our shepherd.
Our shepherd. Brilliant. What did you say, Josiah? Our.
Sin smasher.
Brilliant. That's great.
Messiah.
Grown-ups, you can do it too if you want to. Saviour. Brilliant. Any more names? Light of the world. King. Brilliant. Any more? Wonderful counselor. Bread of life. The way, the truth, the life. What's that?
Emmanuel.
Yeah, off the name. Brilliant. Any others? Can we think of any others? There are loads more, aren't they? He is the Lord. He is the King. The Lord of Lords. The King of Kings. He takes our sin. He's our ransom taker. He gives us hope. He gives us life. He's with us by his Spirit. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's eternal, and he died on the cross for us, he rose again. Like, there's so much about Jesus, aren't there? And the more we see of who Jesus is, the more we see how great he is, then knowledge, it leads to godliness. Then knowledge of the truth, that leads to godliness. So if we're thinking, oh, to be godly, to be a good Christian, I've just got to try harder. Well, that's kind of true, but actually it begins with knowledge. It begins with looking to Jesus. Or if we're finding at the moment a bit of a battle, a bit of a struggle being a Christian, we're finding I keep making mistakes, I keep failing, my walk with the Lord is not good. Well, where do we look? Do we look to ourselves thinking, I'm just going to try harder? Or do we look back to Jesus and what he did at the cross for us and in his resurrection? And the more we look to that, then the more we want to love the Lord God and the more we want to live for him. Knowledge leads to godliness. Now, that is the theme of the whole letter. And then Paul now says, right, let's talk about that then in terms of church leaders and what that looks like the rest of chapter 1, which is what we're going to do after our next song. So we're going to stand to sing a song called Jesus the King, Ruler Over Everything. So let's stand to sing together. Great, wonderful. So, I would now like to ask another question. Now, imagine you went back to school in September, or you went back to work on Monday, and there was no boss, there was no leader, there was no teacher, there was no headmaster. Can you imagine what that might be like? Now, I reckon for maybe you might be thinking for the first half an hour, first hour, maybe even a little while, thinking, this is pretty good, this is pretty cool. But I imagine by lunchtime or by the end of the day, you'll be thinking, this is rubbish. Like, who's going to teach me? Who's going to look after me? Well, like, when someone picks me in the playground, who's going to help sort that out? Where am I going to get my food from? No one's in charge. No one's in control. It wouldn't be very good, would it? Or imagine there was no prime minister, no one leading our country. Imagine what it would be like. We all need leaders. And as a church, we need leaders too. We need them to help us be together, be united as God's people, a part of God's family here at Emmanuel. So we have two leaders, two elders. We have Johnny and Adi who do that for us. And Paul is now writing to Titus about the church in Crete. And boy, they need some godly leaders. Now, Crete was known as a really unworldly place. They were very foul-mouthed. They behaved terribly. They were not good people in Crete. And even we read how they're described in our chapter. So chapter 1, verse 12, we read, one of Crete's own prophets, their own people, has said it, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. That's what they're all like, liars, evil brutes and lazy gluttons. They're not good people. And these good people are trying to vie to be the next leaders in Crete. And Paul is saying, we need godly leaders. We need godly leaders. So Titus, this is the first thing that I want you to do. Verse 5, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. In every town, in every gathering of God's people in Crete, for there to be leaders, to be elders, and later overseers in verse 7, meaning the same thing, leaders of God's people. And will there be godly church leaders, or will there be ungodly church leaders? Because that's the contrast Paul makes as he's writing to Titus here. Here are a list of qualifications how to be godly, but then also those who aren't godly, who claim to know God, verse 16, but they deny him. Now, we're going to find out what it looks like to be a godly church leader. Okay? So around the room, there are, I think, 16 bits of paper with things typed on them. Kids, can you help me? Can you find all those bits of paper and then bring them up the front? Excellent. Good. You can bring more than one. You can bring more than one. I think you might need to be... Oh, you might need two, actually. Brilliant, thank you. Stay here, Huey. You hold that one. Excellent. Good, brilliant, excellent. You might need to bring more than one with you. Excellent, well done. Nathaniel, okay, great, brilliant. Good, you can hold a second one. Can you hold on to that one? No, okay. Now, these are all, from the chapter, these are words describing what church leaders should be like. Wow, how many have you got there, Noah? Okay, so we're going to... take two of them, and I'll take two of them. So we're going to hold them up, and then you hold on to Josiah, and then we've got to work out, okay, is it a good thing to be like this, or is it a bad thing to be like this as a church leader? Okay, the first one is this one, blameless. Is that a good thing to, yeah, good, as a church leader? Yeah, do you reckon good, blameless, never getting in trouble, being a good person? Yeah, excellent. So, Jules, can you just hold that for us as well? Would that be right? Wonderful. Good. Okay, let's hold on. Hold to the Bible. Yeah. To hold, is that a good thing? Yeah, excellent. Good. So, Jules, you can hold that one too. Just there you go. Brilliant. Wonderful. What about overbearing? So that means when you're a bit sort of bossy, say, do this, do that, you must do this, I'm in charge. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Bad thing. Okay, brilliant. So if you go down over to that side, wonderful. Now, what about this one? Faithful. It's a funny thing, it says, one of the qualifications, didn't he? Faithful to his wife and children. Being a good family leader. Basically, Paul is saying, before someone can run a church, they've got to show that they are a godly man at home, that they can run their own household, their own family well in a godly way. So loving their wife in the right way, and having godly children that they're helping bring up to know Jesus. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good, I think so. Brilliant, well done. Oh, Jules has disappeared, never mind. Excellent, good. Okay, talk meaninglessly. So just making things up, so like, oh yeah, whatever, it's a nice day. Good thing or a bad thing for a church leader? Yeah, bad thing, brilliant. So go over that side, wonderful. Being drunk, so drinking lots of alcohol. Good thing or a bad thing? Bad, excellent, over that side, brilliant. Okay, doesn't deceive, so doesn't lie. Always tells the truth. Good thing, good, excellent. Eva, so you go over that side. Wonderful, okay. We'll swap these two around. Excellent. Okay. Otherwise, it's going to be tricky for you. Dishonest. So, lies and is violent. Good. Bad. Excellent. Good. Huey's got upright. So, he's an upright man. You know, he's a good moral guy. Upright, always keeps the law of the land, all that kind of stuff. Good thing. Yeah. Good. Excellent. Good. Over this side. Well done, Huey. Oop, never mind. Self-controlled. So he doesn't let himself like get angry. He's controlled and he tries to live a disciplined, godly life. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Good thing, excellent. And loves what is good. Loves what is right. Yep, excellent. Good, you go over that side. And two more, holy and angry. Holy, good thing. And excellent, a little bit angry, but you go over that side. Excellent, good. So you've got all of those things for what a church leader, a godly church elder, should look like and shouldn't look like. He should be disciplined, hold to the Bible. He should be faithful to his wife and godly children, doesn't deceive, self-controlled. He loves what is good, he's upright, he's holy, and other things as well. Wonderful. Okay. Oh, and not like angry and talk meaninglessly and all the other things we found over there. Brilliant. Go and take a seat. Wonderful. Great. Brilliant. Now, what's really interesting, so Paul doesn't say to Titus, okay, so we need some church leaders, so make sure they're really good public speakers, make sure they're really dynamic, make sure they're real visionaries, make sure they're really good with time management, make sure they're good people persons. He speaks about the qualifications, what it is to be a church elder, as being a godly man. Actually, it's just verse 1, the whole theme of the letter played out, isn't it? Knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Being a godly man. And it's all summed up in verse 9. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it's been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message, and as he does that, it plays out in the way he teaches, the way he speaks, in the way he builds up and teaches one another. And it's in his godliness. And that is compared to those ungodly leaders. Right at the end of the chapter, they're summed up, verse 16. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing any good. They claim to know God, but they don't, because they deny him in the way they live. Whereas the godly leaders, they know God, they live for God. They hold firmly to the trustworthy message. Now, we're not going to get AD and Johnny. I know AD's not here, but we could Skype him. Well, Johnny up here, get him on a chair and say, right, okay, let's go through, see how Johnny and Elder. That's not what we are to do. I mean, we're not Titus, are we? But there's three things we can do for our church elders, our church leaders. Three things. We can pray for them, we can encourage them, and we can keep them accountable. Pray, encourage, and keep them accountable. We can pee. The only time you'd be told in church to pee, I'm sure. But we can pray for them. We can give thanks to God for our leaders that God has given us here at Emmanuel. We can pray that they will keep and hold fast to the truth. They'll hold firmly to the trustworthy message. We can pray for them that they'll always teach us how to know the Lord and live for him. We can pray for all that God will meet all of their practical and spiritual needs. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can build them up. We can say thank you for how they're doing. We can talk to them about what we're learning from what we've been taught in the Bible, about how Emmanuel's growing and flourishing. We can encourage them, and we can keep them accountable. So when things aren't quite right, when we feel like there's something, an issue, we don't just talk about it to one of our friends, or we don't do nothing about it, or just pray about it. We talk to them about it. We keep them accountable. Pray, encourage, and keep them accountable. And we need godly leaders, don't we? Because verse 9, we are the people that are the subject of this in verse 9. He must hold firmly the church leader to the trustworthy message as it's been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We are the others, so that we can be encouraged to know the Lord and then live for him, because knowledge leads to godliness, but also be refuted, be corrected when we're wrong in our living or our thinking or understanding. So we need elders, we need leaders, just like the church in Crete did. And so we pray for them, we encourage them, and we keep them accountable. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and then I think we're going to have some prayer time together. So let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this letter that Paul wrote to Titus. Thank you that we see knowledge leads to godliness. The more we know you, the more we want to live for you. And Lord, please would you help us do that. Please would you help us look more to you. And as we do that, Lord, please would you help us live for you more. And Father, if we are struggling or we're failing in areas of our lives at the moment, Lord, please help us look to you on bowed knee, asking for forgiveness, asking for your help and strength, helping us see more of who you are and how great you are. And Lord, thank you for our church elders here, for AD and Johnny. We thank you for them. And Lord, please would you help us to pray for them, encourage them, and keep them accountable. And Lord, thank you. What a privilege it is to be able to be your people, your version of the church in Crete, here in Oddsdown. And Lord, we thank you so much for your great love for us in Jesus. Amen.